looking at the global fleet, there's I think it's around about 30% of the in-service fleet is, there's an extra 30% of that amount is under order over the next few years. Now, some of those orders can be pushed back, but are you concerned that with such a large order book that we could have global excess capacity if, say, for example, the Suez Canal reopens? And I'd say that we've got very positive signs there at the moment with the ceasefire in Gaza.
I, of course, also read the news. That sounds very promising, to be honest. How quickly that then also resolves, so to say, the ripple-on effects, we will see. I would nevertheless probably separate the two topics you mentioned to a certain extent. Because one, new build global fleet is about a global strategic fleet renewal. The other one, as you said, is a current reality that will hopefully change soon. Let's see. Yeah. To the first one, you are right, 8.2 million TEU corresponding to 27%.
Thank you, Henry.
Not quite, not to be a smarty here, but not quite 30, yeah, but 27%. Irrespective of how you look at it, of course, the current global order book is high. On the other hand, well, first of all, of course, we all know that the deliveries are spread out to 3+ years. But even more important is that new, efficient, innovative vessels are absolutely necessary over the next years to achieve our joint global sustainability goals. Because otherwise, with the current fleet, you cannot reach any of those decarbonization targets and also the increasing regulatory requirements around that. So we honestly believe, and we also have made that public, that shipping has to and Hapag-Lloyd will play its part in decarbonization. So this is kind of, I think, why that is needed. Of course, it needs to be managed throughout the cycle. Yeah? Of course, we are also seeing supply demand and so to say that there's a lot coming. The eventual return from Cape of Good Hope to Suez Network, I would rather consider as a one-off, once sufficiently safe, so to say, to do it again. That just needs to be managed smartly. Of course, we are also aware that right now the Cape of Good Hope rerouting probably absorbs up to 10%, so to say, of capacity, at least if you measure it by TEU mileage. Yeah, but as you also indicated, our industry can manage this. Scrappings are at very low levels still, also in 2024. For carriers, charter returns of inefficient tonnage is always an option. Layups or postponements, so to say, are capacity measures that can be taken. So I would say over time that can be managed. Will it have an initial reaction in the spot rate? I mean, of course, yeah. But I wouldn't worry over time that this cannot be managed by the industry. Just to once more confirm also, when it is sufficiently safe again to use Suez, then we are not only committed to do that, but we even have a plan in place because, as we discussed earlier, initially we planned our Gemini network on Suez. Yeah, so that's all prepared.
So there's a plan B. Can I take the conclusion from what you've just said there that if Suez opens up, right, there'll be a lot of the Gemini lines will have to be realigned again, but you've got a plan B. But this would also be a good opportunity, not just for Hapag-Lloyd, but for other carriers to ramp up that scrapping again and bring in these more carbon efficient ships over a period of time. That would be a good opportunity for that because there'd be less stress on the overall network.
Yeah. And I would even sort of say, Ed, the plan B used to be our plan A. So it's actually a pretty good plan.
Yes, of course.
And of course, then we manage a swift transition. Yeah. Once we could switch.
Hello, I'm Mike King, and you've been listening to a clip from the latest episode of the Loadstar podcast. You can listen and subscribe to the full version on all major podcast platforms. You can also find us and a whole lot more news on theloadstar.com. Thanks for listening.